RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you the news, commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. Then we will end our program with Music Corner. That's our program for today. Now stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President calls for price stability ahead of Ramadan. Five Indonesians escaped from death sentences in Saudi Arabia. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has urged all ministers in his cabinet to keep monitoring stock and prices of basic necessaries during the fasting month of Ramadan and before of the Idul Fitri holiday. The president has called for close monitoring and implementation of measures if there are signs of increase in prices and reduction in stocks. The president emphasized the price issue is crucial as it happens every year, so he hopes and urges all government officials to be responsive towards any developments. The president saw that inflation in May was high. He hoped the ministry concerned, such as the trade minister and logistic agency Bullet, monitor the market and if they find problems, identify solutions immediately and conduct market operations. Five Indonesian migrant workers from Banjarmasin, South Kalimantan, sentenced to death in a murder case in Saudi Arabia, had been released by the court after receiving forgiveness from the 15th family. Indonesian Foreign Minister Director for Indonesian Citizen Legal Entities, Lalu Muhammad Iqbal, said late on Wednesday evening that the five had been granted forgiveness in 2014, but their release had to wait till 2015 as the court required the Indonesian government to pay 400,000 Saudi Arabian rial or around $170,000 as a diat or monetary compensation. Therefore, the foreign minister coordinated with local government of South Kalimantan to secure the money, which was eventually taken from the local budget. The release of the five raises the number of citizens freed from the death penalty with the help of Indonesian government to 34 this year, comprising 10 people in Saudi Arabia, 12 in Malaysia, 10 in China, and 1 in both Brunei and Thailand. The Indonesian government has stepped up its maritime law enforcement by preparing a presidential decree that will lay the groundwork for the establishment of a new task force to combat illegal fishing, according to a government official. Mas Ahmad Santosa, head of the task force for the prevention and eradication of illegal, unreported and unregulated fishing, said that a presidential decree or papers was currently in the works to establish new task force with the authority to take action on legal poachers and other perpetrators of related offenses caught in Indonesian territorial waters. Ahmad said the new combat task force would answer to President Joko Widodo himself, a position that would make it different from the existing ministerial task force that he currently leads. On the other hand, the presidential task force will focus on eradicating and combating illegal fishing. The rupiah depreciated in the interbank trade by 13 points to 13,218 rupiah in Tuesday first trading session from 13,205 rupiah in the previous trade. The head of the research at Monex Investindo Futures, Ariston Chandra, said, as quoted by Antara News Agency, the rupiah weakened amid expectation of improved non-agriculture payroll data in the U.S. this weekend. According to Ariston, the dollar appreciation tended to be limited as a result of other poor data on the U.S. economy, including the index of service sector activities that fell to 55.7% in May from 57.7% in a month earlier. He said the rupiah still had the potential to appreciate amid high expectation that Indonesia economic data would improve in the second half in line with the construction of several infrastructure projects in the country. The head of research at NHAG Korindo Securities Indonesia, Resha Priyambada, said there was an open opportunity for rupiah to pull back in response to the rising quarterly Australian gross domestic product and the strengthening of the yuan after the improvement in data on the Purchasing Managers Index in China. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian government of South Sumatra rolls out Sriwijaya Festival 2015, which will be held on 11 until 14 of June 2015. In the opening of Sriwijaya Festival 2015 in Sabta Pesona Building on Wednesday, Minister of Tourism Arif Yahya stated that Indonesia gives incomes amounts $1,200 around 15 million rupiah. Moreover, Sriwijaya Festival also gives bigger income for Indonesia, especially in South Sumatra.
Wisman itu uangnya orang luar masuk ke Sumatra.
The money spent by foreign tourists in South Sumatra has become income for Indonesia. I speak directly strict to business because I don't want to leave a history merely as a history. There are also cultural values I talk about, which means to balance the cultural and economic values. That is known as cultural industry, the culture which has cultural basic.
Dan nilai-nilai keekonomian. Kalau mau satu kata, itulah namanya cultural industry.
Minister Arif added, Minister of Tourism will promote Sriwijaya Festival to neighboring countries such as Malaysia, Singapore, and China. In the same occasion, Alex Nurdin, the governor of South Sumatra, said Sriwijaya Festival, the festival is not merely elevating the past history, but also to revive the memories of people around the world concerning the greatness of Sriwijaya Kingdom. This festival has been held for 23 years and will highlight more about different things than the previous years. Digital video graphic will be used to describe the story of the first king of Sriwijaya Kingdom, Dapuntia Hyand, and continue with the great era of Balaputra Dewa. Sriwijaya Festival will be held in Taman Purbakala Kerajaan Sriwijaya and Benteng Kuto Besat Palembang. The last item, Indonesian Tourism Minister Arif Yahya said Indonesia is seeking to promote tourism objects in the Middle East to draw more visitors from that region. He also said that the number of Mid-East visitors to the country has increased significantly lately. According to the minister, the government is serious in seeking to draw more tourists from Middle East. He further said generally visitors from Middle East came in groups and family and stay relatively longer. Minister Arif Yahya said in a bid to draw more visitors from Middle East, the country takes active part in international tourism markets such as Arabian Travel Market, ATM, in Dubai early this month. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Here is today's commentary on the achievement of the Indonesian military and message to the world. Indonesian National Army, TNI, achieved a proud achievement for Indonesian nation. The obtained achievement was not on the battlefield, but in an international shooting tournament attended by 14 countries. The competition name Australian Army Skill at Arms Meeting, WASAM 2015, was organized by the Australian Army by inviting countries in Asia-Pacific, Europe, and the Commonwealth countries. This becomes interesting to be highlighted, considering the achievement obtained by Indonesia as the overall champion was related to dozens of medals and the host country, Australia, on its set at second position. According to the head of Information Department of the Army, Brigadier General Wuryanto, the competition this year is the 8th year in a row that makes Indonesia become champion. On this achievement, at least there are two important points for a message to the world. First, Indonesia can demonstrate how the skills and the capacity of the TNI human resources are. Second, Indonesia can prove the quality of its military products. In regard to the capacity of human resources, the world can see that the Indonesian military is composed of reliable personnel. It must, as I say, they cannot be underestimated. Thus, any country planning to disturb Indonesia it must carefully take into account all possibilities to deal with Indonesian fighting force. Indonesia may not be able to compete with some superpowers in terms of mastery of advanced technology and heavy weapons position. However, Indonesia has possessed military personnel which are considered capable, strong, and courageous. In connection with military products, though not qualified heavy weapons, some weapons used by the Indonesian team in the competition shooting taking place at Pukkapunyal Victory in Australia were made in Indonesia. This means that Indonesia is able to arm its military with good quality equipment and without always relying on outsiders. Moreover, this becomes a sign that the military equipment of Indonesia is very competitive. Thus, the TNI should not hesitate to supply the needs of Indonesian military. Of course, Indonesia cannot be excessively proud with this achievement, because it must be admitted that there is a lot of homework to be completed ahead. Not to mention nowadays, soft diplomacy and soft power becomes a force that needs to be considered to support defense and security of each country. Indonesia, with the world's fourth largest population, has the potential to have huge armed forces. But what it means, if finally Indonesia loses or wins nothing? Hence, it is expected that shooting competition or joint military exercises become an event that can reinforce mutual understanding to improve friendship among nations, not just a guise to dictate any military forces for, I should say, of other countries. Well, listener, that was commentary.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, meet again with me, Ania Sana, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event on June 4, 1917, when the Pulitzer Prize was awarded. The Pulitzer Prize is an award for achievements in newspaper and online journalism, literature, and musical composition in the United States. It was established in 1917 by provisions in the will of American or Hungarian-born publisher Joseph Pulitzer and is administered by Columbia University in New York City. Prizes are awarded yearly in 21 categories. The winner in the public service category of the journalism competition is awarded a gold medal. The next event was in 1989 when the Tiananmen Square protest happened. The Tiananmen Square protests of 1989, commonly known as the June 4th incident or 89 democracy movement. In Chinese, were student-led popular demonstrations in Beijing which took place in the spring of 1989 and received broad support from city residents, exposing deep splits within China's political leadership. The protests were forcibly suppressed by hardline leaders who ordered the military to enforce martial law in the country's capital. The crackdown that initiated on June the 3rd to the 4th became known as the Tiananmen Square Massacre or the June 4th Massacre, as troops with assault rifles and tanks inflicted casualties on unarmed civilians trying to block the military's advance towards Tiananmen Square in the heart of Beijing, which students and other demonstrators had occupied for 7 weeks. The scale of military mobilization and the resulting bloodshed were unprecedented in the history of Beijing, a city with a rich tradition of popular protests in the 20th century. And the last event was also in 1989 about the Yufa train disaster. The Yufa train disaster was an explosion on the Kui-Beishef Railway on June 4, 1989 at 15 minutes past 1 local time in the Soviet Union, about 50 kilometers from the city of Yufa. It was the deadliest railway accident in Russian and Soviet history. The explosion occurred when a leaking natural gas liquids, mainly propane and butane, pipeline created a highly flammable cloud that was ignited by sparks created by two passenger trains passing each other nearby. Both trains were carrying many children. One was returning from a holiday vacation on the Black Sea, and the other was taking children there. Estimates of the size of the explosion have ranged from 250 to 300 tons of TNT, equivalent up to 10,000 tons of TNT. According to official figures, 575 people died and more than 800 were injured. The exact location was near the town of Asha. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with today's focus entitled The Government Takes Concrete Steps in Facing ASEAN Economic Community 2015. Listener, the Indonesian government continues to increase its seriousness to face the ASEAN Economic Community free market in 2015 by developing a variety of industrial sectors or businesses. This is to gain competitiveness both in terms of quality and professionalism, one of which is establishing Business Certification Institution or LSU. Head of the Certification Institution, Latif Darmawan, said, "Every company, especially those dealing with tourism and hospitality, have to go through the process of verification and certification to meet the AEC 2015 challenges. This certification is a form of commitment and professionalism in improving the quality of the products, services, and business management processing to the public. The competition in business and industry will be increased so that the innovation, creativity, and quality of good quality products, services, and processing management must be developed." According to Latif, in facing the ASEAN Economic Community, the certification is indispensable in order to face competition in the free business and industry that will prevail at the end of 2015. The certification is focused on three main points, namely product, service, and management processing, and hotels' readiness to maintain the quality and professionalism on the three things. According to him, there will be more competition from outsiders with their big influences on the existence and continuation of the hotel operation themselves. Even many business investments will grow in Indonesia, and it can be very competitive. Meanwhile, various areas of the country continue to make preparation in facing ASEAN Economic Community 2015. Mayor of Surabaya East Java, Tri Risma Hari Ini, said she would focus efforts to usher people in Surabaya to get ready to hold ASEAN Free Market Show. Therefore, she will give priority to the development of human resources. According to her, if Surabaya wants to be the winner of the world quality education, it is expected to be a golden bridge to improve the quality and competitiveness of human resources. It has opened access to education for all children in Surabaya to be able to enjoy a better education for free at all levels, starting from the early childhood education, elementary, junior high, up to high schools and vocational schools, and give rooms to students with achievements. And listener, that was Focus.
Here are the headlines of several national newspapers published in Jakarta today, Thursday, June 4, 2015. I'm Dalat Pane. Kompas newspaper, in its headlines, writes, reading Blatter's Step. Sepp Blatter drew public attention of the football world as he said he would hand over the mandate as FIFA president. However, in a speech at the headquarters of FIFA on Tuesday, June the 2nd, many statements indicating that there is a particular agenda. Blatter will not go and the revamping of FIFA is also unclear. Blatter actually never stated plainly that he resigned. Blatter confirmed that he would not leave FIFA anytime soon. Referring to the status of FIFA, the association members must be notified at least 4 months before the Congress was held. That is, Blatter will still lead FIFA 6 to 9 months. Blatter has a long time to run the agenda, including strengthening the position of FIFA. Tempo newspaper writes, the collapse of Blatter's kingdom. The power of Sepp Blatter, 79 years, has ended in FIFA, World Soccer. It has not yet a week when Blatter served as FIFA president for the fifth time in a Congress on May 29. The man from Swiss is entrenched in the organization for 40 years resigned. Blatter said the mandate he received was not supported by everyone. Blatter also stepped down with the promise of setting up the extraordinary FIFA Congress in December or March, really simply because nobody supported him. According to US media, the Federal Bureau of Investigation is aiming for Blatter with allegations of corruption in FIFA after they were arrested following the Federation's officials. The issue emerged when the New York Times released the charges of kickbacks to Secretary General Jerome Falke in the appointment of South Africa to host the World Cup in 2010. Falke denied the allegations. According to the report, the investigation of the flow of bribes is closer to Blatter, faster than the original. 6 FIFA officials were included in the list of Interpol. Media Indonesia newspaper writes rolling competition after Lebaran. The Ministry of State-Owned Enterprises, SOE, is committed to rescue the state assets from looting by the other party. This commitment is expressed in the letter of the Ministry of State-Owned Enterprises number S-229/MU/05/2015. Expert staff of State-Owned Enterprises Ministry, Rija Primadi, said, the Ministry of State-Owned Enterprises does not intend to intervene in the legal process. Letters of support to rescue the assets issued as a technical explanation on the judiciary are considered biased. State-Owned Enterprises Ministry issued a letter of support to rescue the state assets in accordance with the results of a hearing with Commission 6 of the House of Representatives. The letter, among others, questioned the discrepancy seizure provisions execution in Medan District Court. The execution of confiscation decision is contrary to the Law No. 1 of 2004 on State Treasury in conjunction with Law No. 17 of 2003, junto Law No. 13 of 2003 on state-owned enterprises. Rampant looting of state assets managed by state-owned enterprises responded by workers' unions of Pelindo 1 by demonstration. Chairman workers of union of Pelindo 1, Asmi Budi, along with other workers' unions from Medan and Belawan, claiming to represent 5,000 employees, declared their opposition to the decision of the Medan District Court in the case of disputes of Pantai Anjing Beach. In Medan, besides Pelindo 1, various state assets managed by state-owned companies are threatened to move their ownerships. Among others, owned by PT Kereta Api Indonesia, PT Kawasan Industri Medan, and PT Nusantara Plantation. Well, listener, that was today's headline.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has urged all ministers in his cabinet to keep monitoring stock and prices basic necessaries during the passing month of Ramadan and before the Idul Fitri holiday. Five Indonesian migrant workers from Banjarmasin, South Kalimantan, sentenced to death in a murder case in Saudi Arabia, had been released by the court after receiving forgiveness from the 15th family. Indonesian government has stepped up his maritime law enforcement by preferring a presidential decree that will lay the groundwork for the establishment of a new task force to combat illegal fishing. The rupiah depreciated in the interbank trade by 13 points to 13,218 rupiah in a Tuesday first trading session from 13,205 rupiah in the previous trade. The head of research at Monex Investindo Futures, Ariston Chandra, said, as quoted by Antara News Agency, the rupiah weakened amid expectations of improved non-agriculture payroll data in the U.S. this weekend. The Indonesian governor of South Sumatra rolls out Sriwijaya Festival 2015, which will be held on 11 until 14 of June 2015. In the opening of Sriwijaya Festival 2015 in Sabta Pesona Building on Wednesday, Minister of Tourism Arif Yahya stated that Indonesia gives in kind amounts $1,200, around 15 million rupiah. Indonesian Tourism Minister Arif Yahya said Indonesia is seeking to promote its tourism objects in the Middle East to draw more visitors from that region. He also said the number of mid-age visitors to the country has increased significantly lately. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention three tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? 9. Please write your opinion in brief about Indonesia in 500 words. Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com. Before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is Coming to Indonesia. Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015, brought to you by RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, and supported by Indonesian Tourism Ministry.
Thank you for still listening to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listeners, now here are our next programs, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, I invite you for a beach tour to Kondor Island in Riau Island. So, stay tuned. Kondor Island is the largest island among the Karimun Islands in Riau Islands province. The island is accessible by sea from Tanjung Pinang, Riau Islands' capital city, and it is divided into three districts, namely West Kondor, North Kondor, and Kondor. The island has many interesting tourist destinations to visit. The beaches are located along the coast of the island, especially on the west and the south sides. They are known for their fine and white sand. Therefore, this time I introduce you to some of the beautiful beaches on Kondor Island. One of these beaches is Pantai Ketimun in Riau Island. Pantai Ketimun or Ketimun Beach is in the Kondor village, West Kondor sub-district. This beach used to be the next destination for beach lovers. The landscape of the east coast is like most beaches in Karimun, has a sloping stretch of beach. Although the water is not so clear, it has a long white sand and smooth beach. Along the beach, there are palm trees lined up neatly. Ketimun Beach is more special after the presence of two small islands, namely Timun Darat and Timun Laut. The existence of the two small islands located about 2 miles from the coastline has made the landscape is more beautiful. The facilities at the Timun Beach are quite complete. There are gazebos, restrooms and locker rooms. Unfortunately, there is no restaurant on this beach. You have to bring your own food if you want to visit. Next, I invite you to visit Lubuk Beach, which is one of the leading beaches in Karimun Island. The coastal landscape is beautiful. The length of the beach is approximately 2 kilometers. On the edge of the beach, there are dozens of palm trees in a neat row. Meanwhile, in the end, there is a larger rock that overlaps. The rocks were arranged naturally and they become the peculiarities of Fort Lubuk Beach. You can play around on the surface of the rock. You can also fish in the crevices of the rock. In addition, you can also go out to sea with local fishermen by hiring their boat or walk along the beach, the life in their natural habitat. About the facilities, it is fairly complete. There is food shop, gazebo, and toilet. Listener, beside Timun and Lubuk beaches, there is another beach. It is the Ivory Beach, which is not less beautiful. This beach presents a panorama of the coast sensation that is still very natural. Its natural beauty is more perfect by the presence of granite rocks of various shapes and sizes along its shores. The uniqueness of this beach, in addition to the contours of sloping beach and large granite stones, is the entrance. To reach the location of beach, you have to climb a rocky staircase for 100 meters high. It is quite tiring, but it will soon vanish when you reach the beautiful beaches and lounge. The true attraction of this beach has not finished there. If you come in July and August, you will be greeted with a variety of ripe fruits and ready to eat. Tanjung Sari Village, where the beach is located, has long been known as a center for fruits like rambutan, jackfruit, mangosteen, and durian. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Beach Tourism in Kundur Island. And see you next time.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we present you International Day of Innocent Children Victims of Aggression. War is one thing that is never expected by all men on earth. There are lots of negative impact caused by war. One of them is women and children as the war victims. It is because women and children rarely use weapons. Besides, the United Nations prohibited. It is not ethical for women and children to hold weapons. In some cases, the involvement of children in war is preferable and reliable because they are considered more loyal and obedient. Children can also become a deadly weapon to fool opponents. In several war cases, many children brought bombs in their bodies and then exploded it in vital places occupied by the opponents. Children are unlikely to escape from their group, and they generally do not ask for payment. After all this time, the United Nations has made various efforts to restrict the possibility of making children become war victims. In addition to giving humanitarian aid and making regulation that children under 18 years old are not allowed to be recruited as army, the UN also often strongly condemns the involvement of children in war. In the past two decades, tens of millions of children have been living in suffering and even died of war, which broke out in some countries. Because of endless war, civilian victims increased year by year, especially children. Based on report from UNICEF in 1996, civilian victims in the World War I reached 14%. In the World War, the number increased by 70%, and in 1990, it rose by 90%. Children who should have rights to grow normally lose their rights when war breaks out with no mercy. War, whatever the reason is the most brutal humanitarian crime and violation on the rights of children. Children victims of war will generally grow with painful soul and revenge, which may not disappear for good. Many children victims of war are seen to grow into frightening child soldiers. They become part of brave soldiers who are willing to kill themselves to get satisfaction for successfully killing opponents who have claimed the lives of their parents, friends, and the loved ones. For children victims of war, conflict around them may become the most massive and indoctrinating learning process and violence familiarization. Handling children victims of war with humanitarian aid and medical service to heal physical pain is useful in a short term only. Children victims of war need help to reconstruct gloomy history that they just went through and learn that war is one thing that must be avoided to prevent war and violence victims in the future. Well, listener, that ends today's miscellany on the International Day of Innocent Children Victims of Aggression. I'm Hernita. Thank you for listening.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? 9. Please write your opinion in brief about Indonesia in 500 words. Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com. before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is Coming to Indonesia. Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015, brought to you by RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, and supported by Indonesian Tourism Ministry.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to Music Corner, a special program which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, I will introduce you to a group music, Selena Band. Amid competition in the music industry these days, Voice of Indonesia introduced a group band from Bandung named Selena Band. The band, which consists of Andy Husti, or Awe, the vocalist, Muhammad Dini, drummer, Didi Haryanto, guitarist, and Andy Anakaji Agung, the guitarist, began their career on music from indie bands. Various musical competitions or events in Bandung and Jakarta have been explored by the band that was founded in 2007. Well, listener, let's listen to a song entitled Apa Maumu Cinta by Happy Listening.
Begini begitu salah, kau buatku jadi serba salah. Lakukan yang ini salah, lakukan yang itu pun serba salah. Ku ajak melihat bintang, kau berkata itu sudah biasa. Apa maumu cinta? Apa maumu cinta? Ku buatkan bunga, bunga paling indah. Berharap kau terima terus cintaku. Kau tersenyum mencintaiku. Ku ajak melihat bintang, kau berkata itu sudah biasa. Apa mau cintaku. Ku bawakan bunga, bunga paling indah. Berharap kau terima terus cintaku. Ku inginkan tumbang, tumbang lagi cinta. Berharap kau tersenyum mencintaiku.
Selena's name comes from the name of an Egyptian queen who has a strong character. Andy Hustiawi and Franz gave their band's name Selena. For music, Selena takes progressive pop genre by choosing a slightly mellow song. Selena released their first single entitled Mengulang Kembali. The single, Mengulang Kembali, tells about two lovers who love each other, but he found that his lover already has a husband. Yet when with him, his lover never saw that she already has a husband, so that the lover realized he could not repeat the good times with her who has been married. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Kun Faya Kun by Selena Ben. Here is the song.
Lama ku nantikan dirinya untuk menjadi milikku. Seseorang yang mencuri hatiku, itu dia, itu dia. Kau hadir di dalam setiap mimpi.
Although originating from Bandung, three personnel of Selena were born in Palu City, Southeast Sulawesi, on the Awe who comes from Tual, Southeast Maluku. Although the personnel come from different regions, Selena band always instill a sense of brotherhood with each other. Awe, the vocalist, wants to lift the name of Selena as the band that carries the name of the Tual City, Southeast Maluku. Although the personnel come from outside the city, Bandung, they remain attached to the Flower City. Selena personnel hopes their music accepted by the Indonesian music lovers. Well, listener, to conclude our musical program for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Hubungan Gelap. Here is the song.
Orang yang salah. Orang yang pantas dicuriga, orang yang banyak kata, hati-hati dengan lidahnya. Bulan lalu.
dengannya.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Sendiri ku duduk di sini meratapi sunyi malam ini. Kau yang dulu sangat ku cintai telah pergi dan takkan kembali. Gores luka di dalam hati dan tak mungkin takkan terobati. Ingin aku mengulang kembali saat indah dalam belayan.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.